Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus, the one Saviour that God has granted us, and through him that we might come to know the presence of God among us this morning. Very warm welcome to you all, and seek God's blessing as we share together in his worship this morning. As usual, just to highlight that there are a number of activities ahead of us today and in the rest of this week, and commend these to your prayers, also to your diaries, and please do take note and help out with these various activities. On page 2, the notices are given there, and to highlight that we have our annual congregational meeting after the service. It shouldn't be a very long meeting, and it should be possible for everyone to sit together for a little while we cover one or two necessary pieces of business and seek to serve God as we do so. And then also before the evening service this evening, a time to pray together from about 6:10 up to the beginning of the service. One birthday, I mentioned her last week just in anticipation, but we would remember Pat McCaskill, although she's not here today, but remember her for her birthday today. There's also a slight conflict. One date was corrected and the other wasn't. The item appears twice on page 2. It's the Bible study under midweek meetings in the first column, but it's not the 17th. That's this coming Friday. It would be rather the 24th of May. So that's a week Friday. So please do take note. It is a change from the original plan that was put out early in the year. So please do remember that, and as many as possible come together to benefit from it. Otherwise, to leave you with the items that are printed out for you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. And let us do so as we would come to the worship of God, and we will sing psalms to him. We sing first this morning in Psalm 99, the first half of the psalm on page 130. Psalm 99, page 130, version A, and we'll sing through to verse marked 5 from the beginning. The Lord reigns from his throne on high. Let all the nations quake. He sits between the cherubim, so let the whole earth shake. Great is the Lord on Zion Hill, exalted over all. Upon his great and holy name, let all the nations call. And so through to the verse marked 5, Psalm 99, we'll stand to sing and stay standing after that to pray together.
Lord reigns all of his soul on high, let all the nations say. He sits between the cherubim, so let the whole earth shake. Oh,
together. Lord, we come from our activities in a world, the nations, where to a great extent there is an exalting of men by themselves, by ourselves, or by others. You are often relegated in the minds of men to a supplement to life. We thank you for this word, a summons, a call, an encouragement, a testimony to you that you are worthy to be exalted. You are indeed the only one to whom this belongs. We pray, O Lord, that it might begin with us to come before your footstool, to bow humbly before you, to acknowledge you as the holy, the one who is so different, the one who is pure and magnificent in righteousness. We pray, O Lord our God, that we will know the great honor of bowing before the Lord of heaven and earth. We remember your ancient servants who, when they had a glimpse of your glory, fell at your feet as one dead. We know so little of that, O Lord. But is this not what is fitting for your presence? Be with us, O Lord, as we would confess before you that our inclination is to go in other ways to please ourselves. We pray that you would pardon our many sins and receive us before you, O God, according to your abundant covenant promises. Look upon us in great mercy. We know, O God, that we can ask this because you have sent your own Son. You have taken the punishment of our sins and laid them upon him. And he has accomplished a great work. We come, O Lord, pleading only his name. Be at work in our hearts that we would not put anything of ourselves before you. Except that sin. That you might cast it away. That it would be dealt with. We might come indeed with full assurance, with consciences sprinkled, as it were, by that blood that is a remission of sins. We return our thanks to you, O Lord, for your great salvation. And as you have sent your Son, given him to us even while we were enemies and dead in our sins. If you have given him, will you not also with him freely give us all things? And once more today we acknowledge your abundant blessings that you have provided for us and brought us together once more. And though there may have been times and may yet be times when life may test us, may we be those who also count these things joy as they refine us and make us more fitting for the presence of our holy God. We ask, O Lord, that you would be with us now as we would engage in worship together. That we would not take these things for granted, but reflect with great wisdom of your Spirit upon all that we say and all that we think, all that we do. That in these things your name would be hallowed, lifted up, and receive the praise. I pray that this might be an equipping for us for all that is yet ahead of us in our daily lives. That you would deal with us and meet with us in your great grace. the only way that you can approach us, whether it be in the need for comfort or even rebuke, that you would prepare us well, that we might go out as your servants, renewed in the inner man, renewed in our devotion to our God, for the sake of our Lord Jesus. We pray that you would be with those who cannot be here this morning, who would love to be here, and pray that you would uphold them. Pray for those who have been engaged in other activities and ask that you would guide them in the ways that they go. We pray for those who may be unwell, thus whether amongst us here or at home or elsewhere, and ask, Lord, that you would grant your healing and upholding, and that they might be inclined in their hearts to reflect and to return the praise to you also. Hear us, O Lord, as we would seek your mercies to continue upon us, your presence with us, and all that the glory might be yours. Praying these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, seeking your hearing of us only in him, and all for his sake. Amen. Let us hear together once more the law of God, a rule of thankfulness for our lives as it was for the people of Israel. As God spoke all these words to them, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. This is God's word. May he apply it to our hearts, keep it in our minds, to his praise. We'll further read in God's word, and we continue our readings in Leviticus, the third chapter, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 3. Chapter 1, the burnt offering, all given to the Lord, burnt entirely, the grain offering, which was something more of a thanksgiving, where the burnt offering brought atonement, that man might appear before God. Now the peace offering, Leviticus chapter 3. When his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering, and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove, and Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. If his offering as a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord is of the flock, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offers a lamb as his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering, and kill it before the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's sons shall sprinkle its blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering, as an offering made by fire to the Lord, its fat and the whole fat tail, which he shall remove close to the backbone, and the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove, and the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And if his offering is a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on its head and kill it before the tabernacle of meeting, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle its blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from it his offering, as an offering made by a fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove, and the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma. All the fat is the Lord's. This shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwellings. You shall eat neither fat nor blood. So far, reading here in God's Word. The peace offering, speaking of man at peace with his God, there is that transfer as the offerer lays his hand on the head of the animal, the transfer of liability for his sin, that he is brought into relationship with God. It is also a response to God's work for his covenant with his people. It is different from the other offerings, a reminder that there are different elements and varying purposes in worship, and the purpose for this one is further elaborated in chapter 7, which we hope to come to in due course. But notice too that repetition of the fat that is to be removed and burnt, and fat was symbolic of the richest of what God had given. The fatted calf, for example, and an animal would not have any fat if they were not well fed, well provided for. And when the fat was removed, there was obviously meat remaining, and we find and there is the suggestion at the end of the chapter about eating, and this is to be shared with the priests who were representative of God amongst the people. It is that peace, that relationship with God that is symbolized in this sacrifice that is described here and instructed here. May God bless his word as we read and reflect upon it. We will continue and make a response to our God's word in singing the second part of that same psalm, Psalm 99. Psalm 99 and page 130, from verse 6 to the end of the psalm, telling of the priests who, representing God's people, called upon the Lord their God, and the Lord replied to them. The Lord does not leave those who call upon him. He spoke to them and gave his law out of the cloud from heaven. they kept the statutes and decrees which he to them had given. And so on then, let us sing together from verse 6 to the end of the psalm, again standing to sing.
Moses and Aaron were his priests, and you call on his name. They called upon the Lord their God, and he replied to them. He spoke to them and gave his law and all the laws on them. They kept the statutes and decrees which he
around this point, take a few moments, especially speaking with the young people, and I wonder how many of you like history. Does anyone like to do history at school or at home? Yes? There's one at least. Yeah? Do you like the history of Britain? Yeah? I think sometimes people who come from somewhere else actually appreciate these things more, don't they, sometimes? And one of the things that I especially find interesting here is Roman history. Does anyone know when the Romans were in Britain? Grown-ups? No? Really from shortly after the time of Jesus, for about 400 years. Okay, so it's a long time ago. And then people go around the country digging things up and they find Roman ruins. And in those ruins they find coins, they find some of the armor. I talked about that once some months ago. And one of the things that you can find quite easily in a way is you just open an atlas and you see a maps of Britain. And if you find a road that goes dead straight, you've got a pretty good idea that was a Roman road. And there are some of them. They look different. That one's one down in Kent. It doesn't have a road number now because it's not a road, but it's part of Stane Street. And it's a track, obviously, and it's pretty straight, even that bit. That's another part of it. It's a little bit dark, perhaps, but I think you can see how it goes up the hill. It doesn't cut through the hill. It goes up the hill, straight as can be, until right at the very top. There are some roads. There's one up in, on the way to Scotland, and we don't drive that road anymore because it's straight, except it goes up and down like this and gets a little bit funny in your tummy. The picture doesn't do it justice because it's so straight. It disappears down there in the distance. There's one that I know. The first one when I came to this country that I discovered, it's called Foss Way, and that's part of it today. So it's on the same spot, and it's a brand new road. Okay? Goes straight as can be, way there in the distance. And that's it from the air, at least the line of it, not exactly that piece of the road, but that's it there, going dead straight, isn't it, across the country. They were very good at doing that. Why do you think they did that? It was so that people traveling on a horse or their chariots or their carts could get from one place to another as easily as possible, like our motorways today. Now, motorways sometimes go like this, but they cut through. They don't go up and down very much. They cut through. It's a different way of doing it. But it's the same idea. Where we're going to read in the Bible today tells us that if we come to God and we trust in His ways, trust in Him, He will make us our paths straight. He will direct us. He will make our paths smooth or straight. And it's something like that. Yes, those roads sometimes go up and down, but it's straight, or it goes around like the motorways, but they're smooth. Well, the Bible tells us God will do something like that with the ways that we go, the steps that we take, the life that we live. And so when you go traveling around Britain, look out for the Roman things, join the dots, and see where there are some of these places where the roads were, and remember what God's word says about His care, His providing for us as well. But it depends on something, and that's what we're going to be looking at. Depends on you using that road, doesn't it? It's not all very well the Romans making that road, but what if their general said, no, I want to go through the forest and across the hills and do it my way? And that's what the Bible's talking about. So let's turn there. We'll turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We'll read from the beginning of the chapter. Not quite all of it, but the first part. Proverbs chapter 3. From the beginning. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and will keep your foot from being caught. We read just so far. Again in God's word, may He grant His blessing on it to each of our hearts. We'll turn once more to him in prayer. Let us pray. Lord our God, where you have spoken to us in these words, our prayer publicly, may it also be the prayer in each of our hearts. May it be that you would apply this word by your Spirit, that we will not only hear it with our ears, but with our hearts, that we will know even the correction of a friend, that correction of the Father. That though there may be where we read these things, there may be that prodding in our hearts, in our souls, that we have all too often fallen aside. Yet where we may be sensitive to this, may it be with gladness that we are not left to ourselves to walk to destruction, but you would call us to yourself. You would call us to turn aside from wicked, from empty ways. You call us rather to be holy as you are holy. Help us, O Lord, to rejoice. Should you count us worthy to share in the difficulties, even the sufferings of our Lord Jesus? In the knowledge that this is the way of life, to life, the way to fullness of life. That all else is so short, dying, decaying. We will find that wisdom so that each of us will set our trust upon you, cast our cares upon you. Go as you have led us, trusting that you will work all things for good, that you will do all things well. So we commend our ways to you. I pray that you would also be with others who are upon our hearts in their needs. We come to your throne, the great throne, where is found every treasure on earth and in heaven, that we might find grace to help in time of need. Grant, Lord, your presence with us together this morning. May we each know it ourselves through the powers of our lives. Pray for your great gifts of well-being, your peace on earth and goodwill to men. To many who are around us, the great needs of our society, but the great inclination of man to go in his own way. And as in Scripture in the days of the judges, where there was no king in the land, men went in their own ways. So often it seems to be that way, that your rule, your ways of life are not mediated in the nations, that men choose to go according to man's wisdom. We pray that there might be a turning, an awakening, a humbling, to confess that without you we have nothing, without you we're unable to do anything well. Without you we have no wisdom. But yet you are not far from any one of us. We pray that men might reach out find a place of anguish and desperation even. For how else, O God, will they seek to cast ourselves upon the one who rules, though the one who rules in all benevolence, in all goodness. We commend to you especially then on this day the gospel proclamation. We pray, O Lord, that many will be faithful to your word and speak it forth. Many will be faithful in earnestly desiring it and being thirsty for it. Pray that there might be a testimony rising up according to your great help, that we might live a life that you have purposed for us. Again, Lord, we pray for the ministry of your word in this town. We pray for the beginning of a new course of ministry in Stoke Dabernon. And ask, O God, that there will be a faithfulness to the scriptures, to your word. We pray for the city of London, commending to you once more our friends in the centre of London congregation, the London City Church there, for pastor, minister, and leadership, for every member, for those who will be visiting today, perhaps from many different parts of the world. We ask that you would grant your near presence amongst each one, amongst the gathering there. Other fellowships that we are familiar with, and so many more. We rejoice, O God, that your word is proclaimed. We rejoice that your word is read, though at times it has been neglected, even in your church. We ask too for the other fellowships that we are familiar with around this country, in England and Wales, and the Evangelical Church Presbyterians scattered around. We pray that you would uphold them as they are scattered and far from one another. Be their helper, we pray. For our churches in Scotland, we ask for your great and upholding grace. And in preparations for General Assembly next week, we ask, Lord, that you would enable all who are especially involved in the preparations and the leadership of that gathering, that there would be a suitable preparation, not only in mind, but especially in heart. And for the Church of Scotland alongside, and the difficulties that they face, grant, O God, that your Spirit will indeed be poured out amongst them, to draw them to yourself, and to serve you, and to take those ways that may indeed be difficult in this world, but yet an opening up of the way, smoothing and a straightening of the way, that they too might appear before their God with joy and not with fear. We ask, O God, that you would prosper your work and your word around the world, commending to you the various mission gatherings and services that we are familiar with, and indeed so many more. We rejoice over these things too. We pray that your people today will be built up, that there will be a building up by the inclusion of new lives, but also those who have been long with you, or even just a few days, will be renewed in the inner man, built up in faith, and return the praise and the glory to the God of heaven and earth. Lord, we do pray that you would graciously hear us, continue to keep us from distraction and temptation, especially at this time. But may we know the strengthening of your Spirit for every step of our way, that we might rejoice to serve our God and to bring him the honor, praise, and blessing in this life as also as it will be, as it is in heaven, as it will be in the life to come. Lord, you are worthy. The Lamb, our Lord Jesus, who died for us, is worthy. We would honor him today. Pray that you would keep us in the ways that he leads. In Jesus' name, For your glory we pray. Amen. Let us now turn once more to sing, and it is in Psalm 18, verses you find on page 21, beginning at verse 29. Psalm 18, verse 29, page 21. We'll sing five stanzas down to the verse marked 36. From verse 29, with help from God, I can advance against a troop and rout them all. And with the aid my God will give, I can leap over any wall. For perfect is the way of God. No flaw is found within his word. To all who put their trust in him, a shield and refuge is the Lord. And we'll sing through to verse 36, so that my footsteps do not trip. You smooth the pathway for my feet. Let's stand again to sing.
With help from God, I can advance against a troop and rout them all. And with the
Proverbs chapter 3. And perhaps much as we carry a key in our pocket to enter a place, whether it's small or large, we take a few words here from verses 5 and 6, where we understand it was Solomon says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." We'll comment on that last line in due course. I read these words and I hear these words. These are words that over the years many people in the church have quoted. They're well set in some people's minds. So people know these words. But do we know these words? How many folk know the highway code, but think they know better? Okay, they wouldn't say so. You ask them, they wouldn't say so. Wouldn't admit it, but the way they drive tells you that's what they think. How often might you go into a situation and you will tell someone, these are the facts, and they will say, yes, I know, but I want to do it my way. Or, I still feel this or that. And especially in spiritual things. So I think perhaps it is slightly more of a Western thing, but that's where we live, that's what we need to be wary of. We are surrounded by theoretical theists. People who say, I do believe in God. Surveys point to that. We did a little survey down at Village Day last summer, and a very high percentage of people said, I do believe in God. But when you asked other questions related to that, the percentages were very low. What does it mean, I believe in God? Theoretical theists, people who say I believe. Practical atheists. Act as though there is no God. No one to give account to or to rely on, even. And that's what this is about, relying on God. Trust in the Lord. There are people who don't know that, who haven't heard these words. But perhaps you have. I think many of you have. We need to hear them again today. We can think that we know these words. They're often quoted, but are we living by them? Are we living trusting in the Lord with all our heart? Or are we leaning often on our own understanding? Theoretically, we say these words. We say, yes, I believe these things. Practically, do we show that we know them? To dwell on these words a little then this morning and pray that they will affect our lives. If they have done, well and good, but let it be more so. Let's remember, let's recall. And I want to first of all look at these few lines positively, as they do. They look at life in positive terms, then also in negative terms. And then especially to look at your helper and the result. Let's look at these words and the matter of life, how we go through our life. Look at it positively, as these lines do. Look at them negatively, as these lines do. Look at your helper. Also here, look at the result. Again, in just these few words. Look at life positively. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, line 1 in verse 5. In all your ways acknowledge him, the first line of verse 6, or the third line of this little section. And these two lines, the beginning of verse 5 and the beginning of verse 6, they complement each other. And this is something that you may be familiar with, maybe not. It's very common in poetic passages such as this in the Hebrew Old Testament. You know this poetic in many parts. It's because there'll be lines that support one another. Simple statements and another one that perhaps repeats the idea or expands on the idea, develops it further, but it's closely associated. And that's what we do have. The first half of both 5 and 6 here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him. They help us with some progression in the message we need to hear. The first part then starts with trust. Trust is to rely. Trust is to depend. To put your confidence in the Lord. It is to rest all your weight, to rest your life upon him. And that means where he says something, where he says go, you go. Where he says do, you do. You trust his word. You know that he is the one who is worthy of your trust. When he says stop, you stop. When he says let me sort it out, you take your hands off. Why should we trust in him? Why should we respond in that way as we are called to here? It is because he is the Lord. There's a great deal wrapped up in that title, the Lord. This is the particular name that God gave to his people Israel, relating to his covenant. It is his covenant name. He says, I enter into a covenant with you. And that covenant is that he will do all things in maintaining a relationship with his people. He makes that promise. He has made that promise, and he's made it knowing the waywardness of man. He is, therefore, by definition, utterly trustworthy. Not a single word of his will fail. It hasn't done. We know that he went to the extreme cost of sending his son, the Lord Jesus. He is completely faithful. Where he tells us he will provide, he will help, he will do it. And that means that when he gives direction, you know that that is the way of truth. And Paul writes later, as he was writing to Timothy, amongst other things, he says, if we are faithless, and that goes without saying virtually, but if we are faithless, if we are undependable, if we break down and we don't keep our word, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He is worthy of our trust. You can trust him. Trust his every promise. And trust his every direction. And the writer goes on to say, trust this Lord with all your heart. Try not to split yourself. Try not to be thinking that you can trust in him and then trust in something else as well. Elijah, when Alistair MacLeod was here a few weeks ago, he read the passage from Elijah on Mount Carmel, where there were the people of Israel. And he challenged them and he said, if the Lord is God, serve him. Joshua, when he was leaving, about to die, and he was leaving the people of Israel, he said, you can't serve the Lord. You say you will, you can't, because you go after other gods and other directions. With all your heart. And we sometimes, in English, we use the word all, if you talk about all the chairs here, you're talking about all the different units, and put them together. You can't do that with your heart. It is one. It is with the whole heart. Not trying to divide it in one direction. It is an impossibility. So if you are pursuing trust in something else, you are trusting in that, not the Lord. Trust in him with all your heart. And verse 6 then says, in all your ways. This is what unites these two lines together. In all your ways. It is the completion of man. It is the comprehensive gathering together of all that we are. In all your ways, in whatever you're doing, wherever you're going. In all of these things, no exclusions, no exceptions. It tells us, for one thing, that this Lord, this covenant Lord, how can he maintain his covenant except being the Almighty? But this covenant Lord has an interest in all your ways. Again, with no exceptions. There is no part of your life that he is uninterested in. There's no part of your life that he is incapable of helping. In all your ways. In all your ways, wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you think, acknowledge him. Now, what does this mean? Think of it this way. How you are walking down the street with friends, perhaps, and there's somebody who you know at church, and they're not at school, they're not at work, and you see them, and you maybe look in the window of the shop so that you don't see them. You're not acknowledging them. But they go down the street, they come the other way, and you say, "Hi, it's great to see you. How are you doing?" You're acknowledging them regardless of who else is around you. They matter. It's not that far removed, if at all, with God. You acknowledge him here. You sing his songs. You read his word. And you say amen to the prayers. And you go out. And you're faced with a question in work, in the office. You're faced with a challenge amongst your friends at school. Where does this match that? Is it just these ways that you acknowledge him? Or is it all your ways? That's what the writer says here. It can be interesting being a minister. How many people might acknowledge you or might not? You fit sometimes in some situations, but not at all. What about God? I don't care about me. How do you deal with God? Do you acknowledge him? Wherever you are. You go around and walk with the Lord. You meet somebody, you don't avert your gaze, you don't try and avoid their eye contact, but you acknowledge them, you turn from wherever you're going and say, "No, this is better." I saw a clip just the other day of a young sportsman who, in a pretty demanding sport, tough competition, he was fairly new to it, and he had just come to his first minor success. First time in his career. And he was surrounded by his support team, and in the background was his mum. And the film was showing this, and he came to this point, and then he jumped down and he hugged his support team, and they hugged him, and they were shouting and whooping and stuff. And but just before that, his mum had just quietly walked up beside him, given a wee squeeze around the middle, and given him a little peck on the cheek. And he said, you could tell, he was saying, "Mum, get away, get away." He couldn't have done what he'd done except his mum had got him there over the years as he'd grown up. But there he wasn't quite ready to acknowledge her. His team, yes. But what about his mum? What about God? What about the Lord? He's given you life, every breath of your life, from conception onwards. Gives you your daily bread where no one else can, ultimately. He gives you your abilities and skills for school, for work, for every situation in life. And you would acknowledge your teachers, you might acknowledge your friends because you say they're your friends. What about God, who's been your friend from day one? Who's been your helper, your teacher, your provider? And you cannot get even a Gillette razor blade, you cannot get between everything that God has done. Every moment, every milliseconds, and go down as far as you possibly can, God has been there. Will you acknowledge him? With people all around you, will you testify to his place in your life? Will you acknowledge him? Jesus said to the people around him, "Whoever desires to come after me, whoever wants to get the benefits from God, whoever wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And there is nothing beyond that. If you will not acknowledge him now in all your ways, the time will come when he will not be able to acknowledge you. If you are ashamed of him now, The time will come when he will be ashamed of you, and there will be no more history beyond that moment to resolve that problem. Look at it positively. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways acknowledge him. Now the negative approach. Lean not on your own understanding, the second part of verse 5. The negative side, the negative way of treating this, of speaking of it. Lean not. Don't lean on your own understanding. Perhaps you've seen someone do it. Perhaps you've seen a little bit of footage of somebody doing it where there's a table or something here and they've got the legs crossed and leaning on this and they're putting their weight on it and then you see the table leg go. And what happens to them? Well, they're coolly leaning against a pillar or a wall or something. Maybe it's just one of these partitions and suddenly it goes. It collapses, so do they. Lean not on your own understanding. What happens when your understanding collapses? It's your own. It's got all your own limitations upon it. What happens when it collapses? If you're leaning on it, you collapse too. Think of the difficulties you might have where you have something that's a very cherished idea. And someone comes along and deflates it. Someone comes along and says, there's no reason to think that way. It may be a sports team that you are so full of. It may be maybe business. It may be maybe science itself. And it can be religion. If it's your understanding alone that you have, how strong is it? It has nothing to compare with the Lord's understanding. If at this very moment I was to snap my fingers so that all your chairs would fall apart, it would be very interesting, wouldn't it? However, if one of you had sat at the beginning on a shaky chair and you were cutting it fine so you couldn't go finding another one without disturbing things, if your chair is shaky, there will be something about you even now, so much later after the beginning of the service, where you will be braced. And if it does fall apart, you might not quite go down in such a heap. Be aware of the weakness of your own understanding. Be prepared and find something else to lean on. We've been singing about these things, as well as reading. But at the moment, you are leaning. You are not one whit prepared should your chair collapse. You are utterly leaning upon it. How often are you doing that with your own understanding of life? By implication, this is the negative statement, by implication, as it's surrounded by trust in the Lord and acknowledge him, is to say, lean on him instead. Lean on his understanding. So first we have what you can, what you are instructed, what you should do. You can do it. Or we would not be taught to do so. You can do it. Trust in the Lord. Now we have what not to do. Don't lean on your own understanding. Over the years, I guess you've been getting to know me a bit, and you know that there are times when I see the logic in a situation. The logic of this is that your understanding is so limited. Why depend on those limitations when there is an alternative? I've said it before recently. I said, you don't know what's beyond this moment. You can expect things, but you don't know. That's your understanding. So limited in this magnificent world. Don't stake your life on those limitations. It doesn't fit with trusting the Lord. You know these words. You know the call to trust in the Lord, and you will say, I do trust in the Lord. Do you trust in the Lord, or is there a leaning on your own understanding? When you go look to the direction of your life, how much of it are you keeping in your own hands? This is a call to us to consider where that will get you. It's a call to face up to it seriously. Not to depend on what everyone else is doing in this world, but trust in the Lord. Rejoice when He is there in your sights, that He is the one who is pleased to be your companion. Trust in His teaching and His leading. Leaning on your own understanding. Think back in the week that's just gone. Some of the difficulties you've faced. And you've gone through them. To some extent, in your own wisdom, your own strength. Have you really understood everything that's going on around you? Let's look at it seriously. Look at the realities of our lives. Have you come up perfectly? I'm sure I can say you haven't. And so we're called, don't stick with that way. Put your trust in the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge Him. Join yourself to Him as you are going one way. He comes towards you. Turn and go with Him. Rejoice that He will be found with you. Look at your helper. We come to the last line of these four. Look at your helper. I've used the illustration of walking down the street and you acknowledge someone. Isn't there always the fear at times that they might not acknowledge you back? You don't have to worry about that with God. If you should say, figuratively, if you should say, Lord, it's wonderful to see you, He will say, it's wonderful to see you too. He will say. I have no doubt whatsoever about that. You put your trust in the Lord, He will engage with you. He shall, we're told here. Jesus spoke of Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. He's trying to catch your eye day after day, moment after moment. He's trying to catch your ear with his words of comfort and encouragement and guidance. He's trying to do that. He's looking to you throughout everything. Everything is working towards calling you to Himself. Will you make eye contact with Him? This is your helper. You do that. If you acknowledge Him, He shall. He will. He will do what follows. He, this Lord of heaven and earth, the whole Bible from the very beginning is the story of God letting us know that He wants us with Him. God letting us know that He's ready when we're ready. This is the question. Will you? Will you come to Him, acknowledge Him, trust Him? He will receive that. He will receive you. Not a deputy, not an Aaronic priest, not an apostle, not a pope, not a Christian minister, not a gifted prayer warrior. None of these things are presented to us here, but the Lord Himself. The God who made us and the God who keeps truth forever. He will. Everyone else will fall aside. Everyone else fails because we are creatures. Himself. That little word, He, is a massive word, is a massive message. A glorious message. If it is Him that you put your trust in, He is the one who will carry that trust. Remember Jesus said, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's another verse you know, isn't it? Do you know it? Are you using it? Are you living by it? This is your helper, He. Look at the result. He shall direct your paths. It's connected by the and. That word actually means something too. It's a direct consequence of putting your trust in Him, acknowledging Him, not leaning on your own understanding anymore. A direct consequence of this is that this Lord, covenant Lord, the God of heaven and earth, He will direct your paths. And some of you might have if you have a different Bible version, you'll read it slightly differently. There is a little bit of range in the meaning of the word that we have here, but it's all good. Direct your paths is a good one. He will show you your way. Or an alternative is to make your paths straight. And I talked about this a little bit earlier, about the roads, a straight road or a smooth road. But it's a picture which has its limitations. It's all of these things. There are some verses a little later in the chapter which tell us something similar. In verse 22, the words of wisdom, in verse 22, they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then in verse 23, you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. Those obstacles, those traps will be removed. Verse 26, if the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Such wonderful pictures. Also, over into chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. So it's not just about being straight flat or straight in direction. It's about being prepared. It's being having the we read in Pilgrim's Progress one evening of the Christian going through the valley of the shadow of death in the dark. And it was a very narrow path, and on both sides were dangers. But he was kept through that path. And that's something of what we have here. When you run, you will not stumble, because the Lord will be your keeper. It's not just about, we have in Isaiah 40, and that's looking forward to the coming of Christ, and John the Baptist talked about that. Every valley shall be exalted, so that what's down is lifted up. Every mountain and hill brought low. It's a little bit like the way they build motorways these days. They fill in the valley, they cut through the hill, and it's all straight. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. It's not just about that. It is also about the times when you will be going through what you might think are difficult times. It doesn't seem so smooth. There is the liability for tripping. But the Lord, this tells us, will keep you in those paths. He will keep you through those ways. That's why direct your paths is also valuable. But He will show you the way. He will be with you in the way. Your eyes are amazing things, and you can demonstrate that by driving or on a mountain bike, perhaps going through over a rough track or driving over a dirt road, and the vehicle is shaking and a video camera would be shaking, but your eyes are steady. And it's almost as though all those rough places, the Lord Himself is holding you so that you are like the eyes, you are steady. If you trust in Him, if you acknowledge Him, put yourself in His hands. In many ways in our lives, it doesn't appear to be smooth sailing. If you set out to obey God's ways and commands, it doesn't appear to be very smooth. But understanding and wisdom tells you that the other way to disobey is always going to be far more difficult. The trouble that men bring upon themselves and so many others. You take that law of God that we read earlier. If you were to set yourself in God's grace and strength to obey these words, The world around you will make it difficult. But look at the difficulties they've made for themselves by disobeying. There may often be windy ways, there may be bumpy, there may be slow, but you have your helper. And he will show you the way. This is then a call to trust in him, trust in the Lord, not holding anything back. Not to let others persuade you that they are better company and help. Not to limit yourself to your own understanding. You don't need to. Tap into what is so much greater. It's the Lord himself who has not failed in one of his words. He offers himself as your guide. And so if he says turn left, you know left is best. If he says go on, you know go on is best. When the Lord offers himself as a guide, it would be a bit like insisting, no, I can climb Mount Everest without a Sherpa. They're the ones who know how to get there. Even the world's greatest climbers need them. And Everest is a foothill compared with the difficulties of life. Put your trust in him. And he will show you the right paths. He will show you those paths that are eternally profitable. He will give you capabilities. If you lean on him, he will often make those paths straighter and smoother. Might not look like it to the unenlightened onlooker, the one who doesn't care about him, but they will often be so much better. But one thing is sure. You put your trust in him. Put your trust in him through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way. What an assurance it is to have him. That God does keep his word. You can trust him. You must trust him. And it means that you will press on in the ways that he sets, knowing that, as the apostle says, these are the things that lead you to an eternal weight of glory. Why choose any other way? May God grant blessing. That same blessing on his word. That each of us will no longer lean on our own understanding. Let us return our praise to him, turning to Psalm 43. It's the traditional version. You'll find it on page 264. Tune invocation, and this one, for those who might not be so familiar with it, includes a repetition of the last line, just the last line. Psalm 43 from verse 3, will send thy light forth and thy truth, let them be guides to me, and bring me to thine holy hill, even where thy dwellings be. And we'll sing through to the end of the psalm from verse 3, and standing to sing.
Oh, send thy light forth and thy truth, let them be guides to me, and bring me to thy glory.
Yeah.
Now may the Lord grant his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.